What is up, guys? This is Scott from the Iron Legion Strength Company and Not Born This Way brand apparel. And this is episode number 339 of the Not Born This Way podcast. So it has been a while since I recorded. So for anybody who's still listening, I'm sorry about that. I've been going, just doing a lot of different things lately. And, you know, Andy Frisella talks a lot about on his podcast how people forget that he has a real business to run, you know, besides the podcast that he does. So he kind of goes infrequently for a while. Oftentimes it's because his other businesses have called him away. And that's kind of the same for me here. I think I've spent a lot more time in the last couple months getting back at Iron Legion and making some changes over there with the physical space and just kind of how we do things and different events and so forth. So, yeah, I've gotten a little distracted from the podcast. But what I wanted to talk about today was an experience I had yesterday. So any of you guys who are, you know, follow me on social media, you're aware of my involvement in jiu-jitsu over the last few years. And then most recently, I had a belt test yesterday. So I wanted to dive into that a little bit because there's just so many, man, just big life lessons and takeaways for me from so many things, and this was a big one. So let me back up a little bit for you guys that aren't familiar with the story or how this all works. So I'd say I feel like it was about 3.5 years ago, give or take. We wanted to get my son involved in something physical. He homeschools, and he's never really been interested in traditional sports. He's more of a individual sport kind of guy, so he likes, I mean, he's 12 now, so now he likes riding ATVs and motorcycles. He was really into fishing. He's played soccer for a little bit, but he's just never been drawn to the team thing. So I've been a fan of martial arts and things of that nature my whole life. Did some karate as a kid. I was probably his age. Did karate for about 3 years, I think. I did very well at karate, but I want to point out here, and we'll get into this more later, that even though I did very well at karate and learned a lot, I even entered some competitions, I didn't leave those 3.5 years of karate any more confident in my ability to defend myself or in a confrontation than I was when I started. So I was proficient at what they test you for in kids' karate, but I didn't know how to fight. And I had never fought or even engaged with another person in a meaningful way that made me believe that I'd be comfortable in a fight. So it was a lot of technique and point scoring type of karate where you'd kind of contact your opponent, but not with any kind of power, and clearly you're not trying to hurt each other, but it was so far from what actual fighting or combat or confrontation would be that it was almost as if I was learning a choreographed dance, right? We do katas and things of that nature, which are a series of predetermined moves that you do in a sequence, and it looks really cool, and I loved it, and I felt pretty badass doing it, but I never felt that I'd be okay in a fight. I didn't have any experience with fighting, and I didn't gain any confidence in that area of life. I gained confidence in the fact that I found another sport that I could do pretty well, but it didn't have anything to do with actually combat or fighting. So anyway, that's really been my only experience with it. I went to a couple of jiu-jitsu classes in my 30s, and probably 3 classes in, I ended up on the bottom of some 250-pound dude, and I couldn't move, I couldn't breathe, and it was such a viscerally scary feeling. Like, so it's one thing to be uncomfortable in a CrossFit class, you know, and you can't breathe because you're tired or you're running or something conditioning-wise. That feeling is magnified by 1,000 when you're in a position with another human that you feel like you can't do anything about it. It's very unnerving, emasculating. It touches areas of your core and your soul that you really don't want to touch at the time, because it puts a mirror to the fact that you would not be okay if you got into a fight with this person, basically, right? And for most, I definitely can speak for most men, and I don't know how this goes for women, but we like to believe that we'd be okay if it ever came down to it in a physical confrontation. So if we ever had to defend ourselves or our family or whatever, we think we're going to draw on this secret power and be all of a sudden able to fight and have this superhuman strength and ability that we don't have. And the reality is that will not happen. We don't have some secret power or untapped skill. We have nothing. So if you're not trained for it or prepared for it, the hard truth is that you will not win, and you will come out on the wrong side of an altercation. 100% if it's against someone who is trained and prepared. If you're both untrained and your attacker or the guy who breaks into your home or the guy that assaults you on the street is completely untrained and never been in a fight either, then maybe you have a chance. But the odds are if somebody's breaking into your home or attacking you somewhere, they're a little more experienced than you. So my first crack at jiu-jitsu made me very aware of that, and I didn't like that. And so rather than fix the problem, which would have been continue doing jiu-jitsu until I am able to defend myself and don't feel that way anymore, the easier way around it was to just not go back, right? Because in my real life, I'm 54, and I've been able to avoid anyone breaking into my home or having to defend myself or my family since that point, right? So I haven't been forced to face the harsh reality that I wouldn't be able to defend myself. So I wanted my son to get an earlier start on this journey than me, and not to go through his teenage years, 20s and 30s, with that same kind of insecurity that I did. I was also a smaller guy than everybody else, so that kind of fed into it. I felt like I was just always in positions where everybody around me was bigger and stronger than me, so that was always hanging over my head. And I don't know if everybody feels that way who's shorter or smaller, or if it was just my circumstances or what I looked at, noticed, or who knows. But that's what I felt like all the time. So I just think I one of my missions with Iron Legion Strength Company is to empower people through strength so they don't feel that way. And that's my idea with jiu-jitsu. So I wanted to get my son started. I had taken him to an intro class with Sean Durfee over at Stone Coast in Portland a year or two back with a friend of his. And so I remembered Sean, and John was a little familiar with the place, and he agreed to do some private sessions as long as I would do them with him. So I talked to Sean, we teed up some private sessions, and John and I, my son was, probably 8 or 9 at the time, we trained together. And as, 3 to 6 months went on, it became clear that I was way more into it than John was. Part of that was probably my fault because I was hogging the session because I was really into it. So anyway, John dropped out. I kept going. I continued doing, for a little while I did one private session a week. Then I moved up to 2. Then I would do 2 a week and jump in on a third day with another fella who was at the gym who's younger than me. His name was Chance, but Chance was a more advanced practitioner than me. He's a blue belt. And so you go from white belt to blue belt to purple belt to brown belt to black belt. Each belt take approximately, anywhere from 2 to 4 years, depending on who you are and who's your instructor and how it all works. But, if someone's one belt up, that's a big deal. So Chance was up a belt. He had also been training since he was, like, a kid. So he's very experienced and a super cool kid. And Sean felt like it would be a good match for he and I to kind of overlap a little bit, give me a chance to get some rounds in, some training against somebody else who was, you know, better than me, but not not a black belt, and also not like a huge guy. You know, Chance is probably 160 pounds. So my being a little bit older and bigger and heavier could give me a little bit of an advantage against his superior skill and athleticism. So anyway, it was a good match. I really enjoy training with Chance. So now I'm going, you know, twice a week, three times a week. Sometimes I'll throw in a fourth day with a bunch of guys on Saturday morning. So I was in a pretty good groove. Had a few hiccups over the couple years. I got hurt a few times, not actually only once through jiu-jitsu, which is pretty awesome and speaks to the talent of Coach Sean to keep me safe and having good training partners, you know, the guys on Saturdays and Chance, always, you know, humble in their approach and never too aggressive against, you know, freaking old guy like me. So I hurt my knee once training just as an accident, but generally healthy the whole time. Hurt myself in a different incident and was out for a while. And then I had trouble for a couple months getting there in the summer when we were out of our home for some stuff. But generally speaking, been fairly consistent for a couple years. So with the white belt, there are stripes. So that's how you progress within the belt, right? So you have your white belt as a beginner. You just got a plain old white belt on. You don't know nothing. And you're starting at the bottom. And then as you learn, you test for your stripes. So your first thing is a one stripe, and then a two stripe, and so forth. And each test up to this point has consisted of a number of techniques. So let's say, for example, you know, you want to test for stripe one, you might have 20 techniques that you've learned and that you're going to be testing on. So you have to really, you know, kind of study and prepare, show up that day, and coach will say, all right, show me Kimura, you know, show me the mount. And you have to demonstrate proficiency in that technique pretty much perfectly, and then if you get them all, you get promoted to your next belt. So I've tested for white one, white two, white three. Always a little nervous just because it's a test, right? Just like you'd be nervous for a test in school, and you want to do well. And I would always be a little embarrassed to be nervous because I'm like, how am I nervous? I'm like 52 years old, and this is like a white belt stripe one test, and I'm by myself with my instructor who I'm 100% comfortable with. And he'd say, well, it's good that you're nervous, man, because it's something that's important to you, and it means something to you, so that's why you're nervous. And that always, like, made me feel better, because that's the truth, and it made sense, and it helped me not feel ridiculous for being embarrassed. So for the Stripe 4 test, and I haven't tested in a while, again, because I was out of only down to, like, once a week for a bit over the summer. So since I've been back, you know, more consistently to two or three times a week, Sean was saying, hey, let's get this fourth belt, fourth stripe test in. And it's a much bigger test. Maybe there's 50 techniques on it, something like that. And there's also a five-minute shark tank. Now, I've been to a shark tank for a black belt, and it's insane. So at the academy and through Sean and Jay, the way they do the tests for a black belt is you have to demonstrate proficiency in your techniques starting all the way from white belt stripe one, all the way through all the stripes for white, all the stripes for blue, all the stripes for purple, all the stripes for brown, all the stripes for black. I mean, and then black. It's crazy how many techniques. And that takes maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. Like, it's so long demonstrating all these techniques with a partner, and honestly quite physically exhausting too, because a lot of those, all those techniques are against a person. A lot of them involve lifting, throwing, escaping. So it's very physically tiring. And then the shark tank for a black belt is basically however many people show up in the room. When I went to Carl's, it was probably, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 people in a line. And one after, so Carl's in the center of the mat, and Jay is like, all right, go. First guy comes out, they grapple for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute, whatever. Jay says, switch. Next guy comes running in, no break, goes right to Carl, and this continues until he gets through the entire room. It's absolutely bonkers. And even at that level, the guys that are training, testing for black belt are elite, creme de la creme, best of the best in this sport, super knowledgeable, super physically fit, I mean, just absolute animals. And even after, I don't know, the first maybe 10, 15 guys, they're exhausted, and technique pretty much goes out the window for the most part, and it's just a test of wills, right? And I remember them telling me, you know, the goal for that Shark Tank for the black belts is just you can't quit, you can't stop, you can't be defeated, you can't give up. You're not really expected at that point to be winning against people. You're just not supposed to quit. It's a test of heart more than anything. So the four-stripe black belt white belt test for me was a mini version of that. It was going to be 5 minutes, five-minute Shark Tank, and Sean was like, you know, I'll bring in like five guys. We'll do a minute each, and I'll test you first, and then you'll do a five-minute Shark Tank, you know, against the other guys, and you'll be good. So I was more nervous about this test than any of the other ones because of that component. Now, I'm telling you this story if you're listening still because, you know, so when I posted this after it was over, right, lots of people are, you know, giving me congratulations and thanks, and a lot of people say things, oh, you're such a badass, oh, my God, this is so awesome, and I just want to be very transparent and honest so that anybody who reads that and thinks, well, shit, man, like, he's such a badass, I'm not a badass like that, like, oh, like, listen, don't get it twisted. I was super fucking nervous and full of anxiety and basically scared of this test. I was more prepared for the technical part than I was of any of the previous tests. I had it on video. Sean and I reviewed it several times. So I would, every time I go to the gym to work out, I do at least 15, 20 minutes of cardio first. And during that time, I watched the strike four technique drills over and over and over and over. I must have watched the 1 hour I have of review 30 times. So I knew the techniques inside and out. I wasn't nervous about that. I was worried about the Shark Tank. And it's hard to define what you're worried about. But I'm worried about forgetting everything I know. I'm worried about letting myself and my instructor and everybody who's watching down. I'm worried that 3 years of training are going to look like I don't know anything. I'm worried that I'm going to be so tired that I'm going to give up. I'm worried that I'm going to get stuck in positions that I can't get out of and just have to face that scary, visceral feeling of I'm less than a man. I can't fight and defend myself. I can't get out from underneath somebody. I mean, there's so many. I'm going to do all this in front of people watching. Like, there's so many mind fucks that happen. But somehow I got through the week. I remember, like, on a Tuesday or Wednesday thinking, fuck, I just can't wait till it's, like, Saturday afternoon and this is behind me. Because it wasn't behind me yet. But I've been through this type of feeling enough to know that I also didn't want to fast-forward it and make it be over. I just wanted to enjoy it, but at the same time, the part of me that was scared just wanted it to be done. So I, you know, had a little bit of a sleepless night the night before. And then, you know, it just showed up on Saturday, and I was one of the first ones there, so I'm not too nervous yet. And then, I'm expecting the usual guys I see on Saturdays. And I'm trying to think in my head who Sean's going to have me go against for the Shark Tank. But as we're getting ready for the day, more and more people keep rolling in. And I see more and more black belts that aren't normally there. And more guys that aren't normally there. And by the time, so what's going to happen is those guys are going to all train with each other, and Sean's going to test me, and then I'm going to go in the Shark Tank. And as the room is filling up, I'm infinitely more nervous. I did not expect this at all. So now I'm doing my technique test, and I can barely focus on it, and I'm actually fucking some things up that I know really well, and I'm fucking them up because my one ear and my one eye are paying attention to all the guys in the room who I realize I'm going to have to, you know, go up against in a few minutes, and I'm freaking terrified. So I'm exhausted just doing the techniques, which should not be super exhausting. It's physical, but it should be probably 30% of my limit, and I'm tired just from doing it because I'm so stressed and so tense that I'm physically tired. I'm sweating my ass off. I'm breathing heavy, and I haven't even started, you know, fighting against the guys yet. But I'm so in my own head about what it's going to be like, and I'm glancing over my shoulder and watching these super badass black belts just training, and I'm just so fucking nervous. And I remember literally at one point even thinking, like, we were Sean and I were getting to the end of the technique part, and I remember thinking, like, I might have to fucking bail. Like, I don't know if I can do this. I wanted to, like, slow the technique part down so it didn't ever finish, because I was like, I fucking don't know if I can do it. Like, I don't really know that I was thinking of leaving, but I definitely, my stomach was so fucked up, and I was, like, just so nervous that I definitely wanted to bail. And I don't really even like saying that out loud, because I would much prefer everybody to think that I didn't experience those feelings and that I was just this badass motherfucker that was like, bring it on. I'll fucking take on anybody. I don't give a shit. I don't get scared. Bring it. Let's go. And I wish that was how I felt, but I don't, and I didn't. And I'm sharing this because I want you guys to know that if you consider me somebody who's some kind of an inspirational figure or a badass or whatever, that the reality of it is that's how I fucking felt. So if that's how you feel, understand that, you know, you can still be a badass motherfucker if that's what you think I am, and be scared shit. And the difference is, I just walked into the fire, man. And, you know, I talked to Sean about this because I said, dude, I usually don't admit it to him, right? Because I care about what he thinks of me, and I want to make him proud. So I usually pretend I'm not nervous if he asks me. I'm like, nah, dude, I'm good. And I decided to stop doing that. So this year I said, nah, man, I'm fucking nervous. I'm, you know, nervous. And he said, well, you should be, dude. This is important to you, and it's a big deal. So it's good. It's good you have something to be nervous about, you know? I thought that was cool that he made it okay for me to, you know, be nervous. And the time, you know, when it was finally time to go, you know, you're not nervous anymore because it's just time to go. Like, the nerves were during the technique part, thinking about the test and the physical part. And then once it finally happened, it's just happening, right? So I'm just fucking in it. And it was probably the hardest thing physically that I've ever done. If you guys listened to this a few months back, I did the Go Ruck Tough, and that at that point, that was the hardest thing I'd physically done to this point in my life. But things are relative. You know, prior to that, I thought I had done some hard shit physically. I mean, I've competed as a bodybuilder for 10 years and trained and prepped and did all that shit. I was a college, you know, club-level hockey player. I thought that was probably pretty hard. I've done powerlifting, not competitively, but just workouts, and thought that was pretty hard. But, dude, nothing compared to the Go Ruck, at least for me personally. And then this was fucking harder. I mean, it was only 5 minutes, but I couldn't get my breath and my shit together for a good hour after it was over. I mean, I was sat in the car, like, afraid to start driving home because I, like, couldn't breathe. I thought I was going to fucking go lightheaded. And, you know, it's funny because when you post, like, you know, I tell my kid, you know, it's like, well, I had to go against all these guys. You know, I'm sure he thinks I had to go in and beat up all these guys, right? Like, that the test is, can you win against five guys? And let's be very clear. There was no winning at all. I mean, it was just surviving and not dying. And most importantly, not giving up. And that's what Sean had told me. He's like, dude, this is going to be hard and uncomfortable and take you to places that you probably haven't been in a long time. I'm just looking for you to keep going, keep fighting, not give up, not make faces. And what he meant by that is, like, no defeated faces, right? No, like, you know, like, oh, man, I missed that technique, or, oh, I'm losing, or, oh, this hurts. Like, just straight face, man. Don't let them see you sweat, and just keep trying. Don't accept, you know, a position. Don't give up. Don't look for a way out. If you have to tap because somebody's got you in a submission, yes, of course, do that. But, you know, no flopping on the ground and giving up, you know. So there was really no expectation that I'm going to go out there and beat everybody or even anybody for that matter. Which I'm finally accepting now. You know, when I watch the tape back now, I'm still kind of pissed that, like, I didn't fucking do anything, right? I just got fucking mauled for 5 minutes. And I'm kind of pissed that I wasn't able to get out of certain positions. I felt trapped and helpless and so fucking weak and so fucking tired that I couldn't get these guys off me. I couldn't get, out. I couldn't use escapes that I knew. I couldn't use techniques that I knew. It was just one big blur of getting pushed around and smushed and getting the shit beat out of me. But then I remember what Sean told me, and he also told me after. He said, man, you did great. You didn't make a face. You didn't quit. You kept going, and that's what I was looking for from you. And that's what I keep reminding myself when I watch the tape, because when I watch the tape, I can get a little down that I didn't feel like I didn't do anything right. You know what I mean? But the point of the test was not to, again, necessarily do things right or win. It was to show that you have the heart to want to be in there and to want to do this. And, you know, I guess I did that. And I feel confident that I did that because I know my coach is very legit and wouldn't hand off a belt or a stripe or anything if it wasn't earned. So I feel proud of that. I come away from it thinking I want to be better. I want to get stronger and more fit so I don't feel that way again. I want to, you know, train more in that way so that I'm more comfortable in those conditions. And you just have to do it more. The more you do it, the more you are exposed to it. You're going to be less nervous and less terrified about it. But I wanted to share the part about being scared and being nervous and not wanting to go out there and literally wanting to leave at the last minute. Because again, I see, you know, when I post things like that, I'm trying to just share some of my life with people and hopefully give some people insight to what it feels like to do some of these things and inspire them. But I know that sometimes it has an opposite effect where it'll have people think, man, like, this guy's somehow different than I am. You know, he does all these things, or he is able to do these things. And my point is, I'm not doing them any more easily than you might be. They're really uncomfortable for me and really scary for me. And they're really scary for a lot of people. And even Sean, who's was a professional fighter, he's a couple stripe black belt. I mean, just incredibly tough, capable, seemingly fearless and invincible human who I look up to. He said, man, when I was training for one of his professional fights, he said, I distinctly remember being on the way to the fight and really hoping that the car would crash or something, so I didn't have to go fight. And I was like, no fucking way, dude, because this is a guy that, again, to me, appears to be fearless and invincible and afraid of nobody. And he's like, no, dude, all the time. And I've heard other pro fighters talk like that. So if you're somebody who's, you know, feeling on the fence about or feeling down about yourself because you're anxious to try these new things or get out of your comfort zone, and you wish you had more courage or you were braver so that these things wouldn't scare you, you know, don't misunderstand that those of us that are trying these things aren't scared, because we are scared. We just are training ourselves to walk through it. You know, my mom's first question when I sent her a picture about the test was like, why are you doing this? And, you know, it's kind of a joke, but kind of a serious question, right? Like, at my age, I'm 54, like, why am I trying to learn jiu-jitsu? I'm pretty solid chance I'm not going to get in a street fight or anything like that the rest of my life. But I'm doing this because I want to, I don't want to feel that discomfort anymore. And I'm willingly facing that discomfort so that other things don't make me feel that way, if that makes sense. So, you know, things are relative, right? So that ruck felt really hard until I did this. A normal strike test felt very anxiety provoking until I did this. So I'm thinking now my next strike test, if there's not a shark tank to it, I'm not going to be as nervous, because I'm like, oh, fuck, that's my, I have a new bar of what's hard. You know, I'm thinking about my training session at the gym tomorrow, which will just be conditioning and weights, and I'm like, oh, that's a fucking breeze. You know, that's a walk in the park after that shit. So everything is relative. And that's why I do these things. So when I go speak in public, I'm not scared. You know, when some guy, I don't know, gets pissed off at me in Cabela's because my kid cut in front of him in line and he starts to open his mouth, I can have a confrontation with that person and it doesn't rattle me for the day. I'm 100% confident in verbal and physical confrontation more than I was before. So, again, it doesn't mean that I feel like I could beat up anybody in Cabela's. What it feels like is I'm not nervous about, oh, my God, what would happen if I had to grab this guy, if he tried to attack me. Like, that happens to me 2 or 3 times a week now. So it would be not as uncomfortable if we ended up on the ground in a wrestling match than I would have 4 years ago, when I would have been, like, completely foreign to what it feels like to have somebody trying to kill me, right? So things are perspective-based. So sometimes these little stupid things that you're nervous about make you nervous because you don't have any perspective of bigger things to be nervous about. I'm sitting here outside of the OCB bodybuilding competition I'm going to go into in a minute. There's a bunch of people about to get on stage in their underwear who are freaking out right now about that. And I've done that. And once you do that, it makes things pretty easy in comparison. You know, if you can stand up in front of a million people in your underwear and pose and do all that, you know, getting up to say a few words in front of your friend's wedding or some shit like that isn't so scary. You know, getting up to speak in front of a meeting or something like that is not so scary, because you've stood up on stage in your underwear and had everybody, you know, looking at you, right? So it's just another one of those things that if you can take on things that scare you and things that challenge you, I think they will still be terrifying at the time. It doesn't mean you're a pussy. It doesn't mean you lack courage. It means you're normal. And anybody will admit it feels the same way. And once you get through it, you'll be extremely proud of yourself. And then a lot of other things will seem much more comfortable by comparison. All right, let me go inside and look at some people in their underwear. So you guys have a good day.